Amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. What a blessing just being in the house of the Lord here tonight. Now, normally on Wednesday nights, we're in a series on the life of John the Baptist, and it's been one of my favorite series. I say that about every character series that we've gone into. It seems like that it's exactly what we have need of at that time, and we've done several in this life of John. There's just so much there. It's been such a tremendous blessing to be able to prepare and then to preach on the life of John the Baptist. But through the month of June was our Faith Promise Missions Emphasis Month. And then in the month of July, we give you a chance to get in all of your promises so that we can have a budget to know how many new missionaries that we want to take on for support. And so tonight, in just a little bit, we'll be going over that and be presenting four new missionary families for the church to take on for support. And so with that in mind, I just felt led to be able to teach on just why do we have, and we've already preached a lot, taught on Sunday school, Faith Promise Missions, but where did it all come from? I mean, how is it that the church in this 21st century continues to have a desire and a burden and a conviction to reach the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, where did it begin? Well, as we understand God Himself, we know that God created humanity in His image and after His likeness, and He created him for His pleasure, God's pleasure. We don't fully understand what that all entails. I think one day we will be able to find out and have all of our questions answered to know exactly how and why God allowed there to be a devil, allowed man to have a free will and then be tested, allowed for the different generations to go through what they went through, and all the different things. I think that God has a purpose for all things, and He does everything decently and in order. We know that. But not, a lot of those questions are not going to be able to be answered this side of heaven. We just understand what God's plan is for us in this 21st century. But in order to do that, we have to go back and understand a few other things. And that's what I want to help us tonight, to have a full understanding of why we do what we do in supporting missionaries and reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody tell you any different. In the beginning, God created. Amen. It begins right there. What you believe concerning the beginning will determine what direction in life you go. And so as for the Christian this evening, there's no doubt for those that have received Jesus Christ that in the beginning God created. That's exactly what God has recorded in the Bible concerning eternity past to help us to understand just where we're at even today. But God had a purpose and a plan for every generation. He had a purpose and a plan for Adam. He had a purpose and a plan for Cain and Abel. Why would God allow even that to begin with? Why would God allow one that of the first children of the earth to kill his brother? You know, and so, of course, we understand and we know a lot of things that the Bible reveals to us about that, but God allowed that, and God had a purpose and a plan in all those. And so, but then after, as the population grew on planet Earth, and we don't know exactly what the population was, but at this particular time, in Genesis chapter 12, I want you to turn there with me, Genesis chapter 12, God called out Abraham. And through Abraham, he would establish a people who would represent him, which would be Israel. The entire Old Testament has to do with Israel and God's plan for his chosen people. But that was just a school teacher to bring us to where we're at today. That was just part of God's plan to prepare humanity for the ultimate plan that God had, to send his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth. Well, go ahead and stand with me tonight. We're going to read Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Most would know this very well. This is the Abrahamic covenant. This is where God establishes, through Abraham, his chosen people. And so now that the population on earth had grown and there were people all around the earth, not like it would be today, the earth would not have been developed as it is today, but there would be people scattered all around the earth. And we find here that, look what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You look back over, especially the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. My goodness, we've seen that come to fruition. Verse 3, it says this, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall, and this is what I want you to see, all families. All families of the earth be blessed. Through him, throughout all of the generations of life, until God raptures the church home, his plan was through what he established in the Abrahamic covenant, which led to New Testament, but all families of the earth would have a chance to be blessed. Let's pray and we'll go get into it. Father, we bow before you tonight. We do love you. Thank you for Faith Promise Missions. Thank you for a church that desires to take part and do all that you'd have us to do in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight, God, that as we get ready for this budget meeting to present these missionaries, that we would understand why we do it. And I just pray tonight that you'd give us that insight as we briefly just kind of go through the scriptures concerning missions. Work in our midst and bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So God called out Abraham, no doubt about it. And of all the things that God was going to do through Abraham, we find that the goal would be that all the families of the earth in every generation would have a chance to be blessed. Israel in the Old Testament, we know as we studied Israel had a different set of laws to go by. They had a different standard to live by. God established this for them so that they would be able to represent the holiness of God to the entire world. That's what it was all about. We study back over that, we look at that, and they were to be different. They were to live differently than the others so that the world would look to Israel and say, there's something about that nation. They have the very hand of God upon them. Israel's God is truly the God. And you'll find that throughout the Old Testament when people acknowledge when the children of God were living as God wanted them to live, they were the most powerful nation on planet Earth. No other nation could come close to defeating them. They were victorious in every area of their lives, and the rest of the world took notice of the true God and what he was doing through his people, Israel. You will see this over and over. When they turned from God is when they lost the power of God, and when they lost the power of God and the hand of God upon them, then other nations of the world, God would allow them to rise up against Israel and defeat Israel. Because I believe God also wanted to let the people know that it wasn't because Israel was a superior people. United States of America, it's not, we're not the great nation that we are today because we have a superior race of people. We have been elevated to where we're at as a world superpower because of the God that established America and that America looked to and said, in God we trust. And we want the world to take notice that this nation, because it looks to Jesus Christ, and this was and still ought to be looked at as a Christian nation, we have the power that we have because of the God that we serve and represent. So that's why Israel in the Old Testament, they were representing God to the rest of the world. And so God gave them a different law to live by, and that others around them would see that. And if they wanted to come part and be part of that, then they would have to start living by the very same laws. And circumcision was a sign of that in the Old Testament. All families. Can I tell you, that's always been God's focus? Not just Israel, but it was to work through Israel. that all families of the earth be blessed. Not just the United States of America, not just Americans, but that God could work through America, that all the families of the earth could see the very same opportunities and turn to the very same Creator God and the very same Savior in Jesus Christ. God is a holy God. And as we study from the very beginning, He judges the world according to righteousness. And we find in Proverbs 14, 20, 34, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And you can see that throughout the Bible. Even Israel, when they were not righteous, they did not have the power of God upon their lives. They were not victorious because God is no respecter of persons. So God called out Abraham. I trust that you understand that. Now, we could go with that. That pretty much sums up the Old Testament. There's a whole lot more there. But tonight, that sums up what we're looking to present to you tonight. I want you to turn to Galatians in chapter 4 now. Because God knew that there would be the New Testament scriptures, the completion of the words of God written down for humanity that would be eternal. Even when heaven and earth, the heaven, the atmosphere, and the earth that we're on today were destroyed, and they will be destroyed. We've been studying that on Revelations on Sunday night. It will be destroyed. God will create a new heaven, a new earth, not a reconditioned, but a brand new one. But He says, when heaven and earth is destroyed, My word shall never pass away. Amen. His word's eternal. They didn't have it in the Old Testament, but He knew that He was going to deliver that to humanity. He knew that He wanted that which He created in His likeness and His image to come to the place that they would have a knowledge of eternity. Knowledge of God's plan for every man, woman, and child of the age of accountability in order to go to heaven. So we find the New Testament. And through John, John was the first one to usher in the New Testament. And John is more of the example to every born-again believer today than any other example in the Scriptures. John, all he did was come, represent Jesus Christ in everything about His life. He was a very disciplined man. We've studied that. That's why what he wore, what he ate, revealed that he was a very disciplined man. And he knew that he had one purpose in this life: to point people to Jesus Christ. Amen. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He did not perform one miracle. Did not do anything concerning signs and wonders. That would be the apostolic age, but that would be a temporary time. John the Baptist didn't have to do any of that. All John did was preach with the power of God upon his life. That's New Testament Christianity. Praise the Lord for it. Well, we don't have time. I got to stay focused here. All right. Galatians chapter 4. I'm getting back into our study on John the Baptist. Galatians chapter 4. So we know now that the New Testament, John come in, him and Jesus were born about the same time. John lived 30 years to have a public ministry of somewhere between 6 months to a year. And that's all it was. But what a difference it made. Galatians in chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5, we find here, God sent His Son. He had it planned all along. After the Old Testament prophecies, everything about it. Now we find it, Paul writing to the church of Galatia, and he reveals it very clearly. In verse 4 he says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God said, all right, it's time, that's fullness. Only God knew when that was going to be. It was some 2,000 years ago. We know what it was now, because we look back and it was some 2,000 years ago to usher in this after the death of Christ. And he says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. That's His Son. That's not any man's son. He was not conceived with a human father is God's son, made of a woman, a virgin woman, made under the law. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. God sent his son. Jesus came as Israel's Messiah and to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. He would be the Savior of all mankind. That's powerful stuff right there. So Jesus is a theme of the Old Testament. It's a theme of the New Testament. It's all about him. And he came. The Bible says, for God so loved what? The world. And go back to Abraham. All the families of the world. That he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God sent forth his son so that every man, woman, and child could be blessed around the world. Not just in America, not just in Israel, around the world. Jesus prepared his apostles and established his church for this New Testament church age. As we already saw, that John actually was the first one to usher in the church age. Jesus came to establish his church for this New Testament church age. Matthew chapter 16. We need to have an understanding of it. Need to be able to pass that understanding down. Help our children understand why we have faith promise missions. Why we have a desire to see people that we don't even know, but people that live around the world be saved. Matthew chapter 16. Now Jesus already had chosen his apostles. He is preparing them now. And he says this in verse 16, very familiar. Verse 15, first of all, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? He said, what does the world say about me? They all had different opinions and they heard different things. But then he looked at them, because that's as important in each one of our lives. Not what the world says about Christ. What do you say about me? What do you say about who you think Jesus is? But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a correct answer. Amen. There should not be anybody here that thinks anything different. That's exactly who he is. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you. It's not what you've been taught in school, in secular school. That's not what you've been taught by the philosophies of the world. He says, flesh and blood didn't teach you that, but hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. God's revealed to you who I am. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, his faith, I will build my church. It's his church. Jesus prepared his apostles and established his church for the New Testament church age. The Bible was completed, and the commission had been given. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 20. For sake of time, we'll not go there. That's a great commission. He tells us to go into all the world. Amen. See them saved, get people saved, get them baptized, and then discipled, teaching them everything that Christ has taught us. Every bit of that's a great commission into all the world. Why? Because God's desire is to reach the world. God's desire, as it was for Abraham, very same desire. God's never changed. All the families of the earth be blessed. Have an opportunity to have my blessings. Have an opportunity to know me, Creator God. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2 gets us closer to where we're at right now. Paul was writing to young Timothy, young preacher boy, and he said, this is something you need to make sure that you're teaching and preaching in your church. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, you know them to be true. The same. You need to underline that. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. to be passed on to every generation. The same. Same doctrine. Same scriptures. Same preaching. I believe the things that we preach in this church and every other good biblical church are the very same truths that Jesus himself taught, preached. The same. Passed on to every generation. Every generation. I thank God that somebody in our previous generation thought enough to pass it on to us. You're here tonight because somebody's passed it on to you. Maybe a grandparent, maybe a parent, maybe an aunt, an uncle, a friend, brother, sister. Somebody thought enough about you to reach you with the gospel and so they could pass it on to this generation. And the question tonight is, are we doing our part? It's our turn. It's our turn. We've been put into the game, if you will. Not sitting on the bench no longer. Come to that place. It's our turn. It's 21st century in the year 2014, going into 2015 and beyond. This is our generation. This is the fullness of time that God has chosen to place you and me in. God has put this church right here in this area, in this Indianapolis area, to pass it on. I believe this could be the last generation. I'm looking at any moment, any time. We've been studying the book of Revelations. Everything has, all the prophecies have been fulfilled leading up to the rapture of the church. And all the signs, look around you, the signs are there. It is right now. This could be the last generation. But if it's not, we have to pass it on to the next generation. We can see already in the United States what's happening because we've lost the vision that our forefathers had for this great nation. Our forefathers understood the importance of teaching every child that there was a God, that there is a God. They had enough to know, understand that children needed to know that there's a God because that will determine what direction they go in life. If it's a godless society or a society that is established by God to honor Him, to worship Him. And our forefathers understood the importance of knowing that there is a God and understanding the importance of the church. And they put some laws into place to protect and to help the church. So that the gospel would continue to be preached. Children be raised to know that there is morality established by a God who created humanity. And now we find society is telling the children, even in the United States of America, there is no God, so morality is whatever you want it to be. And look at our society today. Look at what has taken place with that mentality. Are we doing our part? We must pass it on. Every child needs to be taught there is a God. Every child needs to be taught the importance of the church. Not for man's sake. Jesus established the church. So that we can acknowledge the fact that there is a Creator God, that we can acknowledge the fact that there is a Savior. Every child needs to be taught to tithe. That'll tell you how important the church is to you. Tithe acknowledges your ownership of God, God's ownership of your life. Every child needs to be taught to give to missions. Because every child needs to know that God loves the world. He wants all the families of the earth to have an opportunity to have His blessings. Faith Promise Missions. It's part of doing our part. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Just a simple understanding of the Scriptures to bring us to where we're at tonight. And understanding the need to support missions. The need to help the world to know that there is a God. He created all things. There is a Savior. He walked on this earth some 2,000 years ago. There's only one plan for a person to get saved. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He established His church. How important it is and how we need to support it. Not going to have a musical invitation right now. We very seldom do on Wednesday nights. Always an invitation. Before we go into our business meeting, which will hopefully be brief, it's not going to be that long. But maybe God spoke to you tonight. First question you have to ask yourself is, do I know for sure that I'm saved? Have I received the blessing that God wanted me to have in salvation, forgiveness of sins, and today the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? The blessing of knowing I got a home in heaven. If you don't know that right now, you just need to get out of your pew and come to this altar and let somebody take a Bible and help you. Get that nailed down. Are you saved? Then if you are saved, are you doing your part? If you won't do it, who will? If you don't see the need for it, we have a world out there. We need everyone who's saved to do their part. It's our time. It's your time. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Thank you for the understanding of the Scriptures when it comes to reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight, God, that we would continue to be aware of this and look to you and have a desire to give, and as you give to us, that we might give to Faith Promise Missions, that we might give, so do our part to see the world come to that place where they can receive the blessings that you have for them. Pray that you meet with us now and bless in this business meeting in Jesus' name. Amen.